gift of His love. And the blessings that hallow our day, oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall sing that chorus once more. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And in the sweet by and by, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah! Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
We see Him in His Word before we see Him naturally. And Paul said that there's a crown of righteousness laid up to those who love His appearing. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing that once more as Brother Colley comes this morning for a responsive reading. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank God for this blessed opportunity we have to prepare ourselves to go see the King. So just pray that we will do so this morning. We're going to read from Psalm 33. I said, without a revelation, the people perish. So we praise God this morning that we will receive a revelation from His Word that we hear and that we read. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, we are thankful that we have a privilege and opportunity to come together to worship. Father, we know that there is so much hatred and killings and things going on in this world. But Father, we ask you to fix our hearts, Lord, that we let those things not come upon us. Lord, and we ask you if they do, that you would take them away. God, and we ask you to bless every heart that is present. Lord, for we each and individual has to receive the same blessings. We ask you to remember those in the Sunday school classes and touch them. Lord, the little young hearts, Father. that they can receive the words and grow strong by it. We ask for everyone here in the sanctuary, Lord, to bless whatever need they have, Lord, grant it unto them. We ask you to bless Brother Dale and touch him in a special way. Lord, pray that you would give him the revelation that we have need of and that we'd be able to receive it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is commonly for the upright. Sing unto him a new song, play skillful with a loud noise.
For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth.
He gave the water of the sea as in heat. He led up the depths in storehouses.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him.
For he speak, it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast.
The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect.
The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance.
The Lord looketh from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all thy works.
There is no king saved by the multitude of thy hosts. Mighty man is not delivered by thy strength.
An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy.
To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let the mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Our Lord is a present help in the time of need. Amen. It's our hope and our shield. You have that, the Master of the Wind. Let's sing that cover that song. No matter what comes our ways, what storms the devil may try to give us, we know the master of all the storms. Amen. He speaks and the peace comes, and we just thank the Lord for sing the chorus.
I know the master of the wind. Sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that chorus once more. And I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. For he can calm a storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. whenever there's a wind in my sail. But I have a Father, He watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, and I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. He can calm a storm, make the sun shine again, and I know master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. But an unexpected storm may drive me from the heights. It brings me low but never brings me down. And I know the master of the wind. Oh, I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. And I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that chorus once more. And I know the master of the wind. And I know the master of the wind.
Amen. Let's turn to page 94. Let's sing this while all the Sunday school classes are coming up. You looking forward for that meeting in the air? Amen. What a gathering. A gathering it is unto Him.
You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard a story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them, oh, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. You look forward to that? Oh, there is no end to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by.
Sweet, sweet by and by.
that day. There will be no grumblers, producers, hallelujah. And the angels will be busy far away. There the saints will have their seal upon that. That speaks of you. Dressed in raiment none but ransom ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. Let's all stand. Oh, it's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by.
Time that be, what a time this is, sitting in heavenly places. Amen.
Amen.
Let's change the order of the service as Brother Dale comes forth this morning. You love the Lord with all your heart. Is he Lord of all in your life? If he's not, you have an opportunity this morning to just surrender more to him. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
Oh, I want to see.
See everybody in the house of the Lord. If you can be seated for a minute. We have a little special part this morning to the service, so we'll get right in there and get it done and everything will be ready. We have company with us. We always say when you come here, one time you're welcome. All right, next time, you're just part of us because we don't have anything to join up with or anything like that. We're just part of the body of Christ, so we just say welcome to everybody. But we have a little feller to be dedicated this morning. Like his name is what, William? Is that right? Okay. Well, if a family would come on, we'll take care of the dedication and get everything done for the little one, because it's good to get them to the Lord early. Now, we don't have any infant baptisms. If that's what you believe, that's fine, but we don't do that. We do what the Bible says, to where that, you know, they brought the little ones to Jesus, and then he prayed over them, dedicated them to the Lord, and then he would give them back to the parents. All right, now that's what we do here, and everybody, if they will, to stand, because what we do here, we dedicate the baby, give it back to the parents to raise the child. But see, we're everyone standing for the dedication, because we're all to live before this child to where the child can see Jesus Christ. That's the goal of everybody, should be to live before the child. And that way, mama, daddy, brothers, sisters, they can all have a part to do with, you know, in raising the child. Because that's just what we do, and we take it that away. So if you would, bring the little feller. Let me get a good hold of him now. Yeah, we surely don't want to drop him, do we? No. Of course, I've held a few of them before in my life, you know. But we just bring little William. Everybody can see him. Get him where that they can take some pictures of him. Oh, okay. You get rid of that pacifier, huh? Well, I'm not going to bother you now. If you want to fight, okay, we'll fight. Hey, I wish you could see what's going on up here. He's laughing like everything at me. I laugh, too, when I look in the mirror, son, so don't worry about it, okay? Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be able to hold a little one like this. Lord, we know that in eternities, you look down and you see us. You see what we do and everything, and Lord, we just do the best we can do as human beings. And as a family, they bring the little one to where it can be dedicated to you. And Lord, we ask you to just take care of the little father, little William, and let him be raised up for you and your honor and your glory. We give him back to the family, that they may raise him for you. And Lord, we're all standing with him to believe that our lives need to be an example that the little ones can follow thereafter. We thank you for this opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. So if you want to get some pictures right there, go ahead. Okay. All righty. Amen. Get them to the Lord early and pray. You know, children used to be, my brother here is a doctor, he would maybe agree with this part, back was babies used to be born when they were just almost immune to sicknesses for like a 6 month period, you know, because of the way they were born and everything. That's all breaking down to where, you know, in the human race and the genes and the makeup is breaking down. But still, we believe in dedicating them to the Lord and ask God to take care of them, because that's the point. And then we live before them that they may see a life and follow therein, okay? Amen. We appreciate them bringing it. Appreciate the honor of dedicating a little one to the Lord. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Matthew 16 and Hebrews 1. We'll go right into the service. Remember, Wade will be back, I think, Tuesday. They're way ahead over there in the Philippines now. They're done in the afternoon, so they're having services and things, and then they're supposed to have, I think, one more, and anyhow, they'll be flying back in. I believe it's Tuesday. So be much in prayer that the Lord would take care of him, give him a safe journey and all like that. Amen. Matthew 16 and then Hebrews 1. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be able to gather together this morning to come and to serve you and to worship you and to honor your great name. We all gather for that purpose and for your love and your grace unto us. We ask you now to just be with us as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts, that you may direct us all into you. And Father, as we do, we know that there's things that we have need of in life, and a lot of that is healings and things, and we have many among us that are sick. We ask you to just reach down and touch the ones that are sick, deliver them, let your love and your grace be with each one. We thank you for all things, and we ask you to just forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 16. We'll go to verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." In other words, even my own life's not made this known now. Who makes it known? "But my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let's go to Hebrews just for the one scripture. In Hebrews. Well, we'll take three verses. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we know that, you know, that we study the Bible, and we know that throughout the Old Testament, because that's what we'll just speak about for a minute, you saw God manifesting himself. And that's why we read Hebrews, that word that in times past that he spake, you know, to mankind by, or as would be translated, in the prophets, because they were speaking God's word. See, that was the way to deliver, the way God delivered or brought down the Bible, as we call it, to where that we could read it, was by the prophets that spoke those things, and, you know, in doing that. All right. And they would be called, you see them in, you know, Son of Man. You find that terminology used a lot in the Old Testament. Son of Man prophesied to Jeremiah and all of the prophets, because that was for the time God using someone to speak his word and bringing forth the, you know, the word of God. It was God's way of making himself known. All right? Because that's what we're talking about. See, making God known, because that's what we're here for. We're here to understand. We're here to follow and be guided in the word. See, throughout that Old Testament, you know, a lot of people can't seem to find God in doing it, but back there you had a lot of times that he would speak through the prophets. Even David would speak so until it would sound like he'd be speaking in the very first person. David would say, "They pierced my hands and my feet," you know, and stuff like that. And that's how close they were to it, because God was using those Old Testament saints to bring forth his being or person or understanding to bring God to a reality, because that's the whole purpose. What's the purpose of the Bible? What's the purpose of Christianity? What should be our thoughts on Christianity or anything? What is it to be? We're supposed to be here to let the world see us, because they follow us and, you know, they see us every day. But that's way then, as we were saying about dedicating the baby, see, we dedicate the baby, we say, oh, that was just dedicated. No, see, every day we live before that child is a great opportunity for that child to be molded, you know, made into ways that he can see something and want to be like that he sees. Well, that's the purpose of God. In the beginning, he wanted to reveal himself to mankind. He existed alone back there, so he wanted to do something, so he created man, all right? Then in creating man and bringing him forth, as he was doing that, then he was making himself known or revealing himself, you know, in those terminologies, all right? Then that stayed for, you know, a few thousand years as he was revealing himself in those forms that best he could do back there. All right. But one day, see, he walked upon earth himself. And Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. All right. And his name shall be Father. It's a great number of titles to come forth. All right. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked upon earth. All right. Now, as he walked there, then the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But what was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming? Was to reveal the Father, not to reveal himself. He didn't come to make himself known. He come to make the Father known. What is our purpose of Christianity? To make our Father known, see, to the world. That's why we're supposed to live that before the world, that they can see Christ in our being, and then want to be like that, all right? But see, then you see him there as he walked upon the earth, and he declared on many occasions that he was the Son of Man. Who did man say, I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they didn't understand it, because as I've always say about Peter, when he said that to Peter, you know, he said, who did man say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, he didn't ask him that question. He asked him the question of who was the Son of Man, all right? But yet, see, for the time, we read there that that Jesus said upon this rock, not on Peter, and see, not even on Jesus, but on the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They've been against it down through time, but they've never been able to close the church out completely. Because it don't matter how bad it got in the dark ages, you still had that as it was to come forth and promise to where there'd be a restoration. All right? See, then you see him as he lived upon earth as the Son of Man. And he kept declaring. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God. He said, I'm the Son of Man, because he was a human vessel. That's the one thing that we need to remember. I used to, even when I was a kid, I thought, well, you know, if he was God in flesh, then he couldn't stump his toe and hurt himself. Well, that was my carnality. But as I began to realize later on, then he was God in human flesh, as the Bible would be speaking of it. That's easy to follow. And the Bible even says that the eternal Godhead, you know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, can be understood by the things that we see, that we have no excuse. You're a perfect example of what God was in the basis of what it is. See, you know, you're a person. You can be a father, a mother, whatever. You have many manifestations. We all do. But yet we're one person. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a human. But that's many manifestations. But I'm the same person. It don't change persons, it just changes the way you manifest yourself. All right, he manifested himself there in the Old Testament in using those prophets. And as he did, he brought forth the word for that time. Well, then when he walked upon this earth in the human flesh that we call Jesus, all right, that body was a creation to where that the purpose of death could be fulfilled, because that was the reason he came. He came to die, knowing that you and I could not follow him or understand him. You know, we couldn't comprehend God in the basis. See, God would have to come to mankind and make himself known some way to where that, you know, we could understand it. So he came and made himself known in flesh. And he lived his life and all it. But he came for the purpose of dying, that he could be, as the Bible would talk about, that he's my brother. All right. See, he became a human being in flesh. All right. That body was a creation, yes, by the word. We believe that. All right. We believe in the virgin birth. We don't believe in Mary having anything to do with that other than the fact that she was a human incubator. It's the same thing, you know. And as she did, all she done was received, said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee, and that which is born in thee. See, all right? A person was used to bring that body into being, to where it would be kinfolks to us, to where he could understand us. And as he walked in life, you notice he went through. So then he was a child to a child. He went through the parts of life of 10 years old, 12 years old. He was a little boy, you know, and he walked and he done, you know, as us little boys and things done. We went out and climbed the trees and hollered and sounded like Tarzan and jumped out and screamed and played and had a good time, you know, as children. Well, see, he done that because he was coming forth to be what would be needed for the time. But then it came forth in life that he came to where his purpose was. So he started ministering. He started preaching about 30 years of age. He began his ministry. And as he did, he began to speak about things. And he'd talk about Son of Man. Well, they couldn't understand because they couldn't follow his. They knew of Son of Man. They knew the terminologies. But they couldn't understand how this man could speak about being the Son of Man. But that's who he was. He was God made manifest in human flesh. All right, because that's where it goes. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld it as his only begotten. All right. See, then as it comes forth on in life, he come to the purpose of having to know that he would have to die. So he would constantly speak of things of going away and dying and giving his life, and things would happen. And as he did, then it came into being what his real purpose was for, to release that life. God was dwelling in that human vessel. All right? Almighty God. Or else we're the most deceived people there are in the world. Because he was either God or not God. See, if you say he wasn't God, what are we doing here? Let's go eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. But if he was God, we better depend upon the fact of believing who he was. He said, I and my Father are one. Well, were they one or were they two or three or what were they? See? By looking at it as seeing what you see, And comprehending from the scriptures that that human vessel was made for the purpose of receiving. So when that baby was born, God stepped into that human vessel. All right. Almighty God himself just stepped into that vessel as it came forth. Just as when the little William came forth, right there was a life from God that when he came into the world, then he went from living as a fish, you know, right? Floating in water and alive. But just in a second, he was out and you couldn't put him back in water no more. I've been there and seen many of them when they wash your face and things, you know. And when they do, you see them, they'll just rub them faces and just stick them under the spigot. Well, there for a little bit, they're kind of in between two worlds, but then they start getting choking, and you don't put them back under there no more that way, because it changes things. All right. But that little feller, see, was God himself in human flesh. That's why the scripture speaks of, under us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. All right. Then as he raised up, he came to his purpose, as I said, to where he could give his life. That could make the way for you and I to be saved. All right. See, the way today, everything is in terminologies, as we call it, the educational world, and I'm not against that. I believe in it. But I don't believe in trying to make the educational world above the word. I believe the word first, and then the education is fine. All right. But see, in the line of education, I said, then we try to understand everything by our own terminologies. Well, those things don't work. We have to depend upon God if we're going to talk about spiritual matters. All right. So then he came to give his life. All right. On that day when he died on Calvary, what was death? What's death to you and I? You said, well, did he die? Did he what? Now, the what that was within him didn't die. It just exited the body, just like you do. You say, well, so-and-so died. Well, what happened? Well, they just died. No, tell me what happened. See, what was motivating or making you live as a human being, which is the soul and the spirit of mankind. All right? And in that, that just exits out of the body and leaves the body. All right? That's what happened to the Lord Jesus. God just extracted himself, or however how you say it, stepped back, came out of flesh, if you don't call it, acted the part of death to mankind. Because he didn't die in spirit, he didn't die in soul, the body was what died. Because take the life out, the body dies. I mean, that's certain to all of us, doesn't matter who. All right? But then, see, one day, you know, some few days later, he comes back. He's resurrected, he goes up, and then he comes back on the day of Pentecost to live in the people. Okay? And you had one little Jesus walking on the earth. You had one little Messiah, as we call it. But there on the day of Pentecost, you had 120 at the first quack. You know, first time it happens, 120. See, if Satan had went on vacation, that's where he goose up. He can't never follow it correctly. He tries to break up the plan and mess up everything, so he thought killing him would do it. Killing the body was what released the life that could come back into you and I, because that was the only way that we could ever have anything, is for him to come and live in us. So Paul said, now it's what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right. See, on the day of Pentecost, then he came into the church, and there's to fulfill the 121st one, 3,000 right just in a few minutes downstairs. And like I said, if Satan had went on vacation, he'd been better off. But he's too dumb, you know, I'm sorry, but I feel sorry for him. He's the smartest thing there is outside of God, but yet he ain't got enough sense to realize what's going on. God just used him as a plan to get it to where he could exit out of that flesh, and when he stepped out of the flesh, then he couldn't understand what happened. But on the day of Pentecost, he had 120 at the first whack. What? Little Jesuses, little Messiah stepped out, little children of God. Downstairs it goes, and they're all having a big time, and 3,000 are saved at one message, all right? Starting the church and bringing it down through time. There then would be fulfilled, as that Holy Ghost would be coming into the people, the new birth, as we would call it. As it began to come into the people, now it's fulfilled the scriptures, see, of all of that Old Testament. All of those things that was transpiring was being fulfilled right there and coming in the church. And that's where he said to Peter, now watch. He said to Peter, as we read the scripture, he said, who do man say I the Son of Man am? Well, Peter couldn't understand that. But he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right, the Christ means the anointed or the anointed, the Messiah. All right. So then here comes the Messiah on the day of Pentecost right back into the hearts of the saints in what we would call the new birth. And as it would come forth, See, then that would be the Son of God as he was speaking up. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell can't prevail. So down through the church ages now, time from Calvary up to where we are, it's been not Son of Man, see, because that would be the end time. We'll get that in a second. But it would be the Son of God. God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When he would release that life, that it would come back into the people on the day of Pentecost, making them the family of God or the children of God. All right? Since showing that he would come down through time as Son of God. Okay? Now we get down to the end time. And as we get down to the end time, we come into this last part of the of life and the journey. And we find that God starts bringing forth again the thoughts of Son of Man. Because that would be his point, that he would be coming back in human flesh. In our flesh. See? He started that journey on the day of Pentecost. In the upper room, when the Holy Ghost fell upon the people. But he's completing his journey here. So it's not to remain just Son of God. It's to get to understand where Jesus said, who do men say, I the Son of Man. All right. Then he would go through life and he'd speak of these things. And he'd say, now I've got to go away. And he said, if I go away, then I'll come back. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll come back and I'll live in you. All right. And see, in the end time, he would return to fulfill the scriptures of Malachi 4 and the things that would cover how that he would come back as Son of Man just for a little while. Because that would be part of the journey of mankind that the theologians and things missed that understanding because they couldn't follow him when he was saying, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. They couldn't follow that because they had no comprehension. It would take the Holy Ghost itself to reveal those things to where it would be seen. But it could be Son of Man back there, Son of Man in human flesh. Then it would be Son of God, the baptism of the Holy Ghost coming through the church ages. I'm trying to make this a twofold point, okay? And in doing it, he would come for a little while back in the last days as Son of Man. Okay? In the days when the Son of Man, Luke 17:30. Is to be revealed. We're in our day. And that's why Jesus come over in John and he speaks of at that day. That's the day of this revelation. It'll be made known. All right. So we come here in the end time and it's made known to us and we see Son of Man. All right. What's the next step of the journey? Because God always does things in threes to keep it, his numbers correct. And he'll go to seven for completion. And all like that. But he comes in three sons' name. Son of Man. Prophet. You know. Deliverer. To release. Son of God. As the Holy Ghost, the new birth, to come and live in his church. To make his church, him, manifest upon earth. All right. Then he would be in the millennial reign. Because see, our roots, whether you like it or not, our roots are Jewish. Everything connects back to the Old Testament form of coming forth in the Jewish roots and the things of our being coming up. All right, it was promised to David that his son would sit on his throne. Okay, paraphrasing just a lot of scripture, but tying it together. All right, the natural son of David was Solomon. Solomon went to the throne when David, you know, finished his journey. And Solomon, it was a great kingdom under Solomon, the greatest kingdom that had ever been brought on for mankind upon the earth. It was a great time there. All right. And Solomon was the natural son of David. All right. But it was promised to David coming from the tribe of Judah, because that was to be the journey in the tribes and the coming. It was promised that a lawgiver would come forth from the tribe of Judah. All right. And see, that lawgiver would be God in human flesh. All right. So now watch the catch on it. The little woman that was standing there one day and they had said some things and she began to say, you know, he was talking to her And she began to say, you know, we worship here and we worship there. And he said, yeah, that's true. We said, there'll come a time when you worship in spirit and truth. All right. As it began to be made known to her, she had no right to call him, because she was a Gentile. She had no right to call him Lord. He was her natural Lord, but she had no right to call him the names and the things she was seeking him from. All right. But yet he told her. He said, it's promised to you Gentiles will be brought in other words. You'll come into the kingdom. But the main thing is to the Jews. The Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him gave he power to become the sons of God. All right. And as it did, see, and here we're going now in the end time, that God is turning shortly from where we are as the Gentile dispensation, and the promise is to go to the Jews. All right, because they are God's chosen people. Whether we like them or not or whatever it is, they ain't got nothing to do with it. That's nothing to any of us, whether we don't agree with it or not. We don't have any right to differ because we're just left where we are. God's going to do it. All right. And see, he's going to come back to his people, and he's going to, in the millennial reign, Jesus said, you sit with me in my kingdom. That's what they wanted. They kept saying to the women to Jesus, you know, saying, let my son sit one on one side and one on the other in your kingdom. He said, that's not for me to give. See? Because he knew he had to follow the correct lineup of the journey to bring forth Christ to be living in us. And Jesus said, he sit with me in my throne as I have overcome and sit down on my Father's throne. All right. And see, in that, then it would come to the millennial reign. In the millennial reign, Jesus Christ will be sitting on the throne of David. Now, in the millennium, you have a throne, a temple, you have things that are made for the millennial reign. The millennium is to the Jews. It's not to you and I. We'll be there, as we call it, on a honeymoon. You know, we go up, we go to the marriage supper, we're getting everything finished up, and we come back as to the millennial reign of 1,000 years upon earth. But that's to the Jews, and David will be sitting on the throne. Now, naturally, we're his wife, his bride. We'll be sitting around him. All right. That's the terms of the journey from Son of Man, Son of God. And for just a little while in the end time, he comes back as Son of Man again. And then he goes to Son of David. All right. The Jews have a promise. And I like what one Jew said about it. He said, I can't help it if God chose me. And he said, I didn't have anything to do with that. You say, well, I mean, no, we didn't have anything to do with where we're at. God chose us. But those Jews have a right to come back in because they were blinded for you and I, according to Paul. And to where we could come back in, they could come back in the last days after our journey of what is called the Gentile dispensation. Now, in the Gentile dispensation, that's just what it means. It means Gentiles. Anybody can be born again in this dispensation. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew, whether you're, you know, Mexican, any of the words you want to use, terminologies you want to use, Chinese or Japanese or anything. Anybody can be born because it's a Gentile, which means nations. And nations are coming into the body of Jesus Christ. All right, when that's finished, God will turn from there to the Jews to take out of them, according to the book of Revelation, 144,000, that they'll be able to have a people, and you'll go into the millennial reign. But my point is to get to you to remember the situation. He comes as three sons' names, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Now, he has many manifestations. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we believe in one true and living God. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Right? Well, now his Father must have been Jesus. Oh, he said, he just sent him. Now, I didn't say that. He said, I come in my Father's name. I mean, you send me somewhere and you say, well, now he's Pastor Lula. Well, we're going to send him over to Philippines as Pastor Lula. Well, you ain't going to get there. Right? You'll wind up like me and Wade did one time. See, because Wade, the son is in the Philippines. He's Samuel Wade Dale II. See, and I never did like the word junior. It's all right. I just didn't like it. So we put the two, you know, the dash on the end. Well, we're going, actually wound up going out west to hunt. We were checking our guns in at the airport. And the guy looked at the thing and he said, Samuel Wade Dale. Okay. He picked up Wade and he said, Samuel Wade Dale. He said, we got a problem. He said, who are you? I said, I'm Samuel Wade Dale. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Samuel Wade Dale II. See, they'd forgot to put the two little lines on the airline ticket. So he just had it made. He said, we got to do something. He said, there can't be two people on this airplane with the same name. He said, we got to do something. So they wound up and put the little lines on and sent us home. My point is, you ain't going to just say, I'm the pastor of Spoken Word Church. I'm going to where I want to. You can't do it. You got to have a name. All right? You got to have a name. Well, see, God's got a name. You say, well, his name is God. No, you can make a God out of anything. The word God means an object of worship. That's the terminologies of God. It means object of worship. See? And his name is Jesus. But he said, I come in my Father's name. The Holy Ghost will come in my Father, come in the name of Jesus. We can go through many scriptures tying together because we believe in the one true and the living God. That's what I was trying to say. There he was in the Old Testament, coming down, dealing through the prophets. When he steps into the what we would term the New Testament era or the time of Christ, he comes forth as God in human flesh. You say, no, we believe in a Trinity. No, that's what's been taught us to blind us. There's no such thing as the word Trinity in the Bible. It's not there. There's no... God is a triune being. Because you are a triune being in the basis that you are the things I said. You're a son, you're a father, you're a human. You have many titles to you. And Jesus had many, many titles to himself. All right? But his name was Jesus. In my name you'll cast out devils. And all, because it's the name of Jesus. It's the only name that God ever had. You can take the name Jesus and run it back through the Old Testament and run it back through the Jehovah Sea and all of those titles and all those things they've got today, you know, the Yahwehs and the names and the thing. If they just keep running that back, they'll find it. They'll carry it right back to the very self-existing Almighty God. But if they'll take it the other way, it'll come right straight to Jesus. Because there can't be many gods. If it is, who's the oldest? Well, we believe in three gods. Well, all right, which one's the oldest? If he's God, then... So we come up with the idea. We had the concept, see. What? God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Co-equal and co-eternal. Now, how can you be co-equal? You got three gods, and how are you going to have co-equal out of it? And call one of them a father, the other a son. Well, you're just too technical. That might be true, but I'm just in the Word of God. So then we talk about that. We don't talk about what we think. All right. But getting the point, see, that it's very vital to understand the way God comes into being to reveal himself, making himself known to mankind. All right. And see, even then the soldier that was crucifying him, you remember what happened there? He had more than most of them did. When he seen what took place, that soldier said, he must have been the Son of God. Because he seen all the things that had taken place. And he realized there was they were crucifying. But you know what? We talk of the crucifixion. That's what I'm not against the Jews because they crucified. The Jews didn't crucify my God. My sins is what crucified him. My life, my sins, my being. He died for me. He died to take my place. He died that I don't have to die. He died to release that life that it was expressing to where it could come back and live in us. And we could be the children of God. And that's where people miss it at. They're trying to find some terminology or some great mysterious something. It's not a mystery once it's made known. That God can come and live in you. He can come and live in you. Yeah, but we don't. You tell it. You explain it to me then, how that all of this can take place. You explain to me how that a cow eats green grass and gives white milk. I haven't found one yet, kids. Now, don't let mom and daddy deceive you. There's no such thing as a chocolate cow to give chocolate milk. Now, that don't work. Somebody trying to deceive you somewhere. But how does a cow eat green grass and give white milk? I don't know. But I didn't quit drinking the milk. Well, because it's good. Right. See, it's the point that if we follow God through His Word, He'll reveal Himself. And I'm trying to bring an issue to us now about the things of God and the way He makes Himself known. And I'm not dropping back as far as you think, because I'm just using the terms a little bit different to swing it over into where that we can all follow into understanding God is trying to reveal Himself. He's trying to reveal Himself. He revealed Himself there in flesh, in the man we call Jesus. Now, He was either God or He lied. Well, we know God can't lie. So that solves the problem. We must be the liars. But see, God came in human flesh. He came down through Son of Man, making everything in the correct order. He had to come that way for the purpose of dying. But once He released that life that was within Him, He would not be the Son of Man coming forth. It was the Son of God coming forth, or the Spirit. All right? The great eternal God would come and divide Himself among the humanities there, and has been dividing Himself ever since to where He can come and live in you and me. All right? Well, I just don't understand how you can divide God. It's not like tearing up something running out of pieces, you know, or an apple, you're sitting eating it, and then after a while you're going to no apple left. God's not that away. He expressed it Himself. He took fish, blessed it, and handed it over. A little boy had this in his lunch. You know, he had so many fish and so many pieces of bread in his lunch. Now, he didn't have McDonald's behind him flooding out all of the hamburgers like we did yesterday. We got kind of funny, but we got over to, we left real early. We left 30 minutes at least ahead of where we generally run. And we get over and we stop at Cracker Barrel, because I love to eat at Cracker Barrel. It's good old food, Southern. And so we stopped at Cracker Barrel. Over an hour later, we were still at Cracker Barrel. And Danny said to the waiter, said, you know, we've been here for a while. She went and looked. She come back. She was nice, because she could have just bypassed it. And she come back. She said, there's about 6 more tickets ahead of y'all that they ain't even filled yet. Well, we was done running over in the time. We were supposed to be heading towards the meeting there at Brother Longora. So, you know what we done? We asked her, said, would it be offensive if we got up and left? She said, no, don't blame me at all. It won't hurt nothing. Said, no, no. So we got up and left. The only time I've ever walked out of a cafe. But you know what? Thank God for McDonald's. Because we had to get a bite to eat before we got on over there. So what did we do? We went to McDonald's. You know, they don't have no problems, you know. But I'm getting a point to you, if you're listening, that things is right on time if we'll just believe it and listen and think about it, that God is making Himself known to you and I through the opening of His Word. He gave His Word. Those prophets brought that Word coming down. Here comes that Word walking out in human flesh. We call Him Jesus. Here He goes to Calvary, releases that life, and it comes back on the day of Pentecost. Who came back? Jesus came back in the form of the Holy Ghost to live in you and I. All right? And then for a little bit in the last days, He's to return according to Malachi 4 in the Scriptures and that. He was to return as Son of Man. All right? That God would be in human flesh again. Now, not just one. We don't believe Brother Branham was God. We teach nothing like that. We're not stupid. Little idiots, but not stupid. We don't believe that he was God. We have no point of all of that. He was a messenger that God sent, just like Martin Luther was a messenger that God sent. John Wesley was a messenger that God sent. Many, many of those coming down, coming through the Baptists and the things. I knew a little bit about some of the things and how that it would be. You had those people in line coming through to bring the message. All right. And see, it's nothing, it's not something new, it's just understanding. And see, everybody knows that we believe God sent a prophet, that's all right, that's to fulfill the scripture. You know, but that's okay, that's no problem. But we don't make him God. See, that's not that way, because we're trying to be right about it. He brought a message. You know, John the Baptist come to introduce the Messiah, right? And he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The great man, John the Baptist, to where he was. But yet he wasn't God. There's no man to be God outside the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And he gave his life to where that it could come back and live in you and I. To reveal himself to us. And reveal himself as the three sons' name. All right? Son of God, Son of David. All right, we went through the point, we're picking this up for this afternoon, we went through the point of understanding that according to Malachi 4, just for a little while right in the end time, he's to come back as Son of Man. Because you cannot go to Son of David in the millennium coming from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because no matter what you think, when we get out of here, those Jews are going to have to receive Christ as their Savior. If they're going to be anywhere, they're going to have to receive Christ. All right? Same as we had to receive Christ. Okay? All right? And see, then, as they'll receive him as Christ, the Son of the living God, through two prophets standing there, they'll see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, but those two people standing there won't be God. They'll just be two prophets coming, which is Moses and Elijah, coming to the Jews after we leave. All right? That won't be, they are not God. They're just like it's a vessel that God has used. But Jesus was that Almighty God. He said, unless you believe that I am he, who? The one that was to come and give his life and et cetera, all have been preached. But he said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. All right? See, then that way we know who is the God of glory. And his name is Jesus. So you can run him back, as I said a moment ago, you can go back through the Jehovah, you can go through the many titles and things of going back. But I love the way the Bible, I'm not against the Jehovah Witnesses, I just study the Word of God, and I can't help it if I remember it, but I had one talking to me one time, you know, and he's talking about, well, Jehovah's his name. I said, well, now, first off, Jehovah's not a name. I said, Jehovah's a title. Well, he didn't, because he'd never been said that to him, you know. And I said, it's a title. Because then you got Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Tishkenu. You got seven compound names of Jehovah, and they every one apply to Jesus Christ. Well, he's just backing up. This young guy, he's really interesting, you know. And I said, but now, what I like is the way the truth of it. I said, you're saying his name is Jehovah. And I just wrote one scripture over in the Old Testament where it says, by my name Jehovah was I never known. He looked at me and he said, I never thought of that. I said, because his name's not Jehovah. That's a title. That's like I am, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, the Bright Morning Star. That's a title to a name. But I said, Jesus is his name. And I said, what you've got is got you got it turned, because it really is J-V-H-V or J-V-H-U. And the reason, there's no vowels in there to bring it on out. So they made it out to Jehovah. We're putting the vowels into the lettering of it. It's J-V-H-V or J-V-H-U. They use it in both ways. And that is so sacred until when they're trying to write the Bible, they take a bath before they'll write that word that means God. They'll go take a bath. They say that's really correctly in the order of why that Lazarus, he was a scribe, and that he had took so many baths till he died of pneumonia. You know, because every time they come to that part, it's so sacred until they won't touch it, till they go wash and get clean and everything. Well, see, if we'd be a little bit better off, we'd be better off if we got a little more cleaner sometimes in ourselves and to think about Jesus. His name was Jesus. He said, I come in my Father's name, so the Father's name would be Jesus. You say, well, yeah, but you're a Jesus only. No. No, Jesus only won't work. No more than the Trinity's work. Because Jesus only ends with Jesus in manifestation. That's their terminology, is when that Jesus is the life's manifestation of God. I differ with them. The bride of Jesus Christ is the life's manifestation of God. Before we walk out of here off of this earth, we are the life's manifestation of God. Then God turns to the Jews, and they'll be the manifestation of God upon the earth. It'll be Christ in them, just as it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see what I'm talking about? See, then where would we be without understanding the term or thoughts of three sons' name? He said, well, it's the Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Well, how can you go from, I can understand going from Son of Man to Son of God because he gave his life to do that. But how are you going to go to Son of David? Because Son of David is a natural king. He will literally, Jesus will be literally sitting on the throne of David. It won't be a throne, it'll be in terms of using it, but manifesting himself to show who he is. That he's the one that they worship. All right? See, then you've got to bring in that, and that's where that we understand the prophet and the message of the age and what he would bring to us. And we get those thoughts from the fact that in between Son of God and Son of David, he returns as Son of Man and manifests himself as Son of Man for a little while here in the last days, until that becomes into the Son of Man being the bride of Jesus Christ, walking on earth again. Not just a prophet, not just one person. It's God dwelling in mankind, getting ready for it to step on over into the millennial reign. All right. But now here's for a second. So wake up. To understand Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David is great. That's the three sons' name. But to understand Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, you hadn't picked up another God. You hadn't picked up another thought. You just picked up another manifestation. You just picked up something God is revealing. Because remember, that's not the end of it. The millennium is the seventh day out of Eden. That's time. Son of David is not the life form that God reveals himself as to be. He revealed himself in bride form, right? But that's not the life form. What's he going to be in the future home? The Son of David in the millennium, what's it going to be in the future home? And I'm trying to lay something down for your thoughts. Come on. I told you, I back up and then I pull up and line up. All right, line up with the rest of it. There's got to be another form of God, another making known of God. Because in the future home, it's going to be a different world. Okay? And what is he going to reveal himself as? Got to have another form. Got to have a way to make himself known. Remember, we still believe the Bible. Whether you like it or not, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So remember, he'll never change from being a spirit. Right? He didn't change from being spirit when he came into that flesh. He just moved into a realm where he could be made manifest. He just was brought into a position to where he could manifest himself in another manifestation. Well, Son of David's not the finality of all of this. Okay. This afternoon we'll pick up on that and go on for a little bit and see. Because there's got to be something. Where or who is what? What's he doing in the future home? in the future home? Are we going to go up to heaven one day like we always used to think with Trinitarians? You know, and I'm not joking about it. I'm not making light of them. I'm just telling it like it was and the way we talked. All right, plain language, just Southern. We used to say, well, when we get up to heaven, we'll see Jesus sitting on the throne, the Father be sitting over here, and the Holy Ghost will be fluttering over here like a dove. You know. Well, now how are you going to do that when Jesus said, I and my Father are one? How are you going to do it when the Bible says the Son himself shall become subject? We've got scriptures left that we've got to cover. Not trying to make a joke of anything, but telling the truth about it. We go so far in our understanding, we get up to where we think we understand, and then when we do, here something else comes up. It's vital to understand Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Now we've got to go again. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. To the future home. That God may be all and in all. That's scripture now, I'm quoting it to you. That God may be all and in all. A great opportunity to try to understand God, to get away from our terminologies of what we think. Well, what do you mean God? God is this, God is that. Anybody says God, well then you don't even think, see, as I said. God is an object of worship. There in human flesh was Almighty God. Not just an object of worship, but the very God himself living on earth in a human flesh. And he said, I and my Father are one. And this is what he said. He said, if you've seen me, they said, show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. Because you'll never see spirit realm. You'll never see spirit realm. You can't see spirit realm, and you can't do away with the scripture that says God is a spirit. Spirit has to take a form. He has to amorphy or change his form to where that he can manifest himself in a different way. We've got a long ways to go. A lot to understand. Think on these things. Come on, musicians. Think on these things. God's word is very important. It's our only hope or thoughts is to understand from him and to walk in the light. And to know then that we can fellowship and understand the wording. How would you have felt if you'd have been Peter or something standing there and he just said, who do man say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter answered what the Holy Ghost said, because the church was built on the fact of Son of God being God in human flesh, given the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he said, Peter, he said, I didn't ask you that question, but said, that's all right. He said, I'll build my church upon what you just said, that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. That word Christ there means the great eternal self-existing Elohim that comes out of the beginning, the Logos, the Theophany, all of those big terminologies of words that we use, which is simple. God was made manifest to where we could understand him, moving from one form to another until our comprehension could comprehend. And once you see him standing in flesh, there he is. You know who that is and what's taking place. Let's stand. What we got, Brother Joe?
Of course.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Think on these things.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Universal word, isn't it?
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
There's a That's a universal sign all the way over the world.
And Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you.
Anybody have a name?
Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. And Lord,
you love me?
I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you.
See, when I do that, I'm not Lord, just telling you I love you. I'm telling him that I love him.
Hallelujah.
Holler, hallelujah.
And thank you, Jesus. Oh, just praise him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
You love him.
Oh, hallelujah.
One more time before we go then.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh,
thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for this day and your love unto us. We pray what we said would be worthy and help us to understand all about you, because that's what we're talking about. We didn't come to make ourselves known. We're not to do none of that. We've come to make you known, Lord. And we pray that you'd use the terminologies, the words, because we're just human beings. And help us to walk in the light of your love. Now dismiss us as we go eat natural meals, Lord. Bring us back together this afternoon to your word, Father, that we may walk in you. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You dismiss. Pray one for another.
Oh, hallelujah.